Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It's I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416. We're going to jump into our Which Way Yarning segment. That's with Edmonton Police. And look, proudly sponsored by Piconi IGA, Brisbane, Edmonton. And give us a box of fruit here at Bumbabrippa Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Message we delivered to our young school-based traineeship. And we're going to catch up with Senior Constable, that is. She's going for a sergeant. Nicole O'Rourke, my sister. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you. Thanks for the promotion, but I'm not
Thank you. That's right. Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay wouldn't be happy with that.
He can keep his job for a while.
My sister, first of all, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yes, so I am from Yindinji Nation. My grandparents were born and raised over in Yarraba when it was the mission over there.
Yeah.
And they worked over there. They got married over there. And then it was in the... might have been in the 40s, they got the an exemption to leave Yarri and move elsewhere. So, some time after that. So, Mum's from a family of 10. She is, and she's the second last child.
Mm.
So, she got, you know, I've got
a lot of cousins, little aunties and uncles.
Yeah. And,
big clan.
So we all sort of, Mum's family, we're all sort of scattered across, like, the Cairns area and around, some moved further south and out west. So I grew up in Brisbane, and I only moved up here. I probably moved here in, it was 2009 when I first moved back
2009,
here.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
And how long have you been wearing the blue uniform for, sis?
For a little bit over 15 years.
15 years, beautiful.
Yeah, and I know it's a lot of people are not real fond of the police, but I have really enjoyed my time in the police, and I've met a lot of fantastic people. So, yeah,
well, and look, it's a career path, a fantastic career path at that for all people. But great to see the our mob being enrolled and taking on that career path. And to me, it keeps them honest in regard to our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters who are in the police force, and an educational tool as well. Cultural awareness, so to speak. I think it works. I think it's a nice fit, and congratulations, 15 years, sis.
Yeah, thank you. And like, there's more. We need more.
I want
more of our brothers and sisters come and join. And the things are getting better in our workplace. Our commissioner, she's a wonderful woman.
Good.
Excellent lady. She's a very powerful leader, and she's making a lot of changes.
Yes, and she's Indigenous friendly, is what I'm picking up.
Yes, she is. So, and we've got a new unit in the police that's just been developed.
Yep.
For it's an Indigenous, it's more Indigenous focused. It's also culturally focused as well.
Good.
But the Indigenous aspect is at the forefront. So,
good. And she would be utilising black police officers for this program to go forward. Yep.
Yeah, she wants us all. She needs, you know, we need each other, so to speak.
Yes.
They need us and we need them. So,
well, all the officers at the top end level, when we're talking ministers and major police officers, lieutenants or what have you, when we're looking about black deaths in custody, it's plain to see, you know, so we need to close that gap, and we need to have communication, and we need to protect all civilians, black and white.
Yeah, and that is so true. And one thing that I've learned is with my experience of, and I've worked in a few communities in my career, and one thing I have identified and I have seen for myself when working in communities is that our mob are still, a lot of them are still very frightened of the blue uniform.
Yeah, exactly, which is sad.
So much past trauma there. Mm-hmm. And that, but that is something, this is what I would like for our mob to know that, and I'm saying this from my position and where I work and the people I work with, that all of this is changing. It's not like it used to be.
Yeah, beautiful.
There's always cameras around. There's always witnesses. And nowadays, in the police, if a complaint is made against a police officer, it is investigated thoroughly to ensure. So there is... I'm not saying you've got nothing to worry about, because I don't want to say that to diminish or minimise how people feel towards the police.
Sure, exactly. Like, well, and the camera's there to protect both the officer and the civilian, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you are doing your job properly, then you've got nothing to worry about. But at the same time, you're a civilian, if you are abiding by the laws, and, you shouldn't have nothing to worry about either. But it is a tool that we use regarding cameras to make sure everybody's safe and being looked after properly.
Yeah, that's right. So, where bridges are being built everywhere, and I can just see it, and people are still very traumatized, I guess, from what had gone on. Rightfully so.
Rightfully so, exactly.
Yeah.
Our topic today, my sister, is domestic violence, relationship-wise, triggers in regard to DV, and what is domestic violence? So let's just start with that, my sister. What is domestic violence?
Okay, so domestic violence is, when I explain it to people, I tell people it's anything where you're being unkind to another person. So, but in the actual legislation, it lists things. It's physically or sexually abusive, emotionally or psychologically abusive, economically abusive, threatening to do any of these acts, coercive. It can be any sort of controlling behaviour or dominating in any way towards the other person. So, if you're withholding money from someone, if you're emotionally abusing them, like playing mind games and things like that, if you're sexually abusive physically, all these sort of things.
Or keeping them at bay, I'm thinking, holding your partner at home where they don't go out, and especially see family or have friends, that's a form of domestic violence.
Yes, it is, because that's controlling. That's controlling, the controlling behaviour and the dominance. You can't go separating your partner from their support systems. It's just, that's not on.
Okay. Triggers. What would trigger it?
So triggers are things that, and this is not by means, these are not the only triggers, but these are just some triggers. So some triggers are finance is a big one in a family. When bills are due, and like the rego's due or something like that, and that, you know, money's a bit tight, then that can be, there's a pressure. So finances, kids acting out, there's another pressure. Work, or the threat of losing a job, or not being able to get a job, that's a trigger. If there's things happening within a family, so if one party has a family and that party's family is fighting with the partner's family, which it does happen,
there's
another trigger. And sometimes
jealousy.
Jealousy is actually, it's a pretty big one. A lot of partners are, and they have a lot of the
insecurity.
Term that's quite used a lot is jealousy. So when partners are jealous of another, the insecurity with if one partner sees another partner just talking or close proximity, that's enough to...
eye contact, whatever, and it could be innocently done, and that's where the green monster just comes out in regard to jealousy.
So it's okay to feel jealous. It's okay to feel these things, but it's not okay to act out and start being aggressive and abusive and threatening and controlling and dominating, all those sort of things. So our feelings are okay. We're allowed to feel those things, but we're not allowed to be subjecting the partner to those things that make up domestic violence. So the threats and the controlling, all of that.
And when we talk about this sort of stuff, like triggers, you know, like jealousy or anger management or alcohol, whatever, you know, if you know the problem, then you can fix it. And that's the good thing about it all, you know. So mainly our brothers out there, and domestic violence is mainly men on women, brothers out there need to be strong in that department and be accountable, looking at that brother in the mirror, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And helping that brother fix the situation. But 9 out of 10, he knows the situation and he's got to be disciplined enough to fix it.
You got to, for a lot of it, you've got to have the courage
True.
To look at yourself. Like
True.
You said, look at the one in the mirror. Have the courage to say, yes, my drinking is a lot of the problem, or yes, my drug abuse is a lot of the problem, or yes, my anger management is a lot of the problem. Have the courage to take ownership and responsibility
exactly.
for what plays a part to the domestic violence, and find a way, ask for help, or just say to your partner, I've recognised in myself or something, I know that when I do this, this is what happens.
Mm.
And that if you're telling, because that's a weakness, it's a vulnerability, you're being vulnerable to someone. You're asking them
But it's
for
a
help.
Strength as well, if you admit to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's powerful.
It is.
You are a true warrior if you can admit to it.
Yeah, and that it is true. You're right. It is true strength. And it takes a lot of courage and it takes a very, very big soul to be able to admit what's wrong about yourself.
Yeah.
And then even bigger to go out and seek help about it. So, but this is how deep we all have to dig when to stop things like domestic violence. It's a very difficult thing for people to do. So, but that's why all the support services and networks are out there.
And then we talk about relationship. It's about working together in a relationship, love and respect, and compromise and meet halfway, and so. We all need to go through that in a relationship, you know, adapting to the personalities, to the faults that the other person has, your faults as well. Because the topic we're talking about here is domestic violence, what it is, triggers, and relationship. So that comes into play too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And because we're all individuals, we all have our own needs, and we all have our own wants, and we all get a bit selfish, and we all want it now, and all of those things. But it. This is all about being an adult. This is all about being bigger, wiser, stronger, kinder.
Yes.
We do. When we have children, we have to put our own needs and wants. We have to put them to the side because there are either younger people or elderly people who have a greater needs than us. And say it's in a couple relationship. One partner may be suffering from something that's happening at work, and the other partner needs to put aside their needs and wants for a little while to help their partner through that. Time.
Exactly. It's a balancing act, isn't it, you know?
Yeah. Mm. So, and that's about supporting each other.
Exactly.
You know, that's what relationships are all about. It's a bit of, it's a team effort, you know. So that's where strong, solid relationships come out of, is where they communicate to each other and they help and support each other and they put each other's needs first.
Yes. And by working at that, you know, it's working towards stamping out domestic violence, because we don't need to go that far, you know. If the communication is there, if the trust is there, if the understanding is there, then domestic violence, simmers down and eventually not in the lives of a relationship, which is what we're pushing for, stamping it out.
Yeah.
Eh,
and in front of our little ones as well.
Well, exactly.
Our little people there. The way that they behave them and conduct themselves is an exact product of their home environment.
True, exactly.
So if they're down the street opening doors for old ladies, that's because they've been taught that at home. But if they're down the street yelling and swearing and making a big
and
thing,
young brothers watching dad doing that, they're thinking, oh, that must be the norm. No, it's not.
Yeah. Mm. So that's all come from home.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
well, a beautiful conversation and a very important conversation, and another way of us putting it out there, stamping out domestic violence. It's got to go, and we need to be stronger.
Yep. And so if you are in a relationship where you are suffering from domestic violence, And I'll just shout out a few phone numbers.
Please.
If it's happening, so if a crime's happening right now, you call 000. Life-threatening, property damage, call 000 right now. That's for all over Australia.
Mm.
If it's something that's not happening now, it has happened, or you're worried about it, or you need to talk about domestic violence, you can call 1-800-RESPECT. So that's 1-800-737-732.
Mm-hmm.
And a men's referral service is 1-300-766-491. There's actually a men's line, and I'm not harping on about the men's. I'm just giving out the men's numbers because there are so many numbers and available for the women. It's just that men have often said to me, I can't find anything for support.
Sure.
So this is the reason why. The Men's Line Australia is 1-300-789-978. There is also for the women, so mm-hmm. they have separate ones.
Yep.
This is for the Cairns area. I'm sorry, I'll quickly find one, a national one.
Okay.
Is 4033-6100. And for a Cairns, for the national line, the 1-800-RESPECT will also work as well.
Okay, lovely.
For either partners.
Beautiful.
So that's
very important numbers there. Yep.
Yep. Please do reach out if you know there is absolutely no judgment. This is not about judgment. This is about helping so that you can enjoy your life and enjoy your life with your partner and your family members and we can all get on together.
Get on together. That's very important. Stamping out domestic violence is what we're yarning about. Thank you very much, Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke. All the best to your mob there at Edmonton Police. And big shout out to Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay. And we'll talk soon, my sister.
Thank you so much, Trev, for having me.
You take care.
You guys have a really good day.
Okay, darling.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn there, and that's Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke, Deadly sister, been with the police force 15 years, and our segment there is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Bocconi, IGA, Brisbane, Edmonton, and give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Brippa Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, what we're talking about. So we're talking about domestic violence, stamp it out your mob, be strong brothers out there, and reach out for help, love and respect your partner, that's what it's all about, and beautiful partners out there, if you are in some sort of need, a situation where you need help and support, then call on those numbers, 1-800-RESPECT, also 1-300-766-491. Local mob here in Cairns, 4033-6100, otherwise 000. Have your say, yarn up strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Down in my lane. fisherman, got a bag full, got a big and plenty mouth to feed. Man with the bag say, hey you, you're breaking the rules. Don't care what your rule is, you know thousand politicians couldn't change my ways. Lord of the sea and the pull of the sun and the moon.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Charlie Michael, it ain't
Jones and Roy Walker, and on it goes. Then Daniel York, then Sheldon Cullen, then Dixon Green. Or someone stop me.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk
Black, your big yarning shirt, BBM 98.7. I remember the day. Ain't no fairy tale when you live in hell. Trust me, that's a story I know very well. Bad weather, no umbrella, it gets better. Seen it with my own eyes, Money and job, you ain't got one. How you gon' raise my godson? Adoption, I know that's not an option. Your baby mama watching other girls and their husbands. They whip cribs and kids, that's how a family functions. We face obstacles, that's not cool. But you got to choose what's best for you. I see you trying to better yourself and trying to better your health. I see you getting closer every day.
That's a super understanding, what a master plan. Ni nigga ukuluwa trying to find another hand. I'm pushing through the storm, being better than I am. When I make a bigger try, I was trying to push me down. Man, I'm bigger than the image and the fans. Vision is precision, I can see right through the brands. See right through the smoke, life is not a joke. When I finally drop my mask, my mirror, it almost broke.
I was told the storm would go away. Darkest times, I pray for better days. Ayo, ayo.
Choose to feel. Lately, don't know how to feel. Don't know what's fake or real. So I get my mental straight. Write my problems with the pencil, break therapeutic. If it puts me in a better place, I gotta do it. Instead of losing myself, I found music. Real talk, I've been down and out, and I'm back now. You can't count me out, I never back down. And that goes to anybody with problems. I get help, and maybe we can solve them. Nakunili jack the ripple left a door. Little mouth to no more dream gap go. I'm not gonna get a tour, now my jam, I fully want to mouth to no more courage go. Gotta keep pushing through, never stop. It's like every time I see the rain drop, life falling down your face in the same spot. If you're looking for love, it's what I got. Got enough to go around, giving up.
You say you got a lot of love, I can use a ton. And we can go together, we can be as one.
And I can tag along, yeah, my number longer bond. I can have to worry, you won't be alone.
I guess I'm coming too, cause if we preaching love and unity, I'm coming through. And is that cool with you?
Man, I got no issue, just know that I'm with you.
I'm with you,
I'm with you,
we with you.
Give it up, give it up to the sunrise. We standing strong through the dark times. That's who we are.
Never gonna stop the rain.
Give it up, give it up.
it on your mouth. It's me, Bush Takabanji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Brisbane with this ringing in my head. The words of wisdom that my sweet grandmother said. She said, turn away from prejudice and hate. You know it's not too late, it's not too late, it's never too late. As she sits, a gentle smile upon her face. There's not a hint of bitterness, no, not one trace. And ask your children to pick some earth up in their hands. Oh, they will understand, understand, understand.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416. Thank you.
Mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
We see it everywhere. Here on your daily program is National Talk Black. Trendy Trev here on the line. Going to catch up a yarn now with Annie Dracelyn Smallwood, Professor Dracelyn, and talk about the movement there in Townsville, Survival Day, and her thoughts about here we are in the 21st century. Annie Dracelyn, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, and what a mooly to all the listeners from Townsville.
What a mooly, my sister. Thank you very much, Aunt. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, my mob's from Townsville, Birragabba on my dad's side, and on my mum's side, she's South Sea and up there, Calcutta and Wangi Nation, and always happy to come on your program, Trev, because a lot of people... Listen to you, my countrymen too.
That's right. We are connected, Arnie, and thank you very much. I'm blessed to be connected to you, and blessed to have you on the program. Look, we are so-called celebrate Australia Day, celebrate Survival Day, but celebrate 60,000 years. I saw your speech there in Townsville yesterday, and look, very powerful. We are still fighting our way for our people.
Yeah, for sure, bub. My speech yesterday, I've been saying the same thing for 50 years.
Yes.
Like all the other freedom fighters, but we've got to keep going.
Exactly.
Because things are a tiny bit improving, but we've got a long way to go. You know, I just heard on mainstream radio before your program I switched over to, the ABC had to take off the word Invasion Day because the hand that fed them, the government told them, they've got to take it off that it's Australia Day. You know, these people have still got a cheek to say that, you know, we've got to get over all our trauma and move on, you know, because they all got bloody raps, you know, reconciliation plans. They think that's all they have to do.
Which all token gestures, aren't they?
Absolutely. When this is a day of mourning for each and every one of us First Nations peoples that, you know, I made a comment that 30 years ago, the man of my life passed away, my beautiful father. Mm. And it was on New Year's Eve that he passed away, and that's always a mourning for me.
Mm.
It's not a celebration because of that. And they want us to celebrate a day where our land was stolen, where many of our people were massacred, where they used to make sport out of burying live little Aboriginal babies in their sand.
Yep.
Who could kick the furthest head off on horse after raping many of our grandmothers and then taking our half-caste children away as a terrible derogatory word, half-caste, but that's what they used to say.
Yep.
Take all the half-caste children away to stop the embarrassment of all the rape and pillage on our beautiful grandmothers. And they want to write a rap and say, forget about it all, move on, and let's be little happy little Vegemites to reconcile without the truth. And that's never going to happen, Trev.
No.
Never going to happen. So, and we want our younger generation, I'm 70 this year, we're supposed to be almost crossing over the dream time at 50, but some of us are lucky, that we still have the most horrendous statistics, the highest suicide black youth rate from Australia in the world. We still have our mob dying 17 years before white fellas. We still have diseases that developing countries have eradicated. And we've got 14 times higher our people are getting locked up in jails, and they're putting 10 and 11-year-old black children in institutions. And the, you know, United Nations are asking Australia to please explain, and they're so arrogant.
Exactly.
They're so arrogant that they don't have to respond. We've got the chief of the country, the prime minister, saying that the colonisers suffered just as much.
Yeah, they had a hard time apparently coming over on the boats.
As the First Nations people.
Exactly.
I said, they suffered trauma from massacring all our people, most of our people, killing our children, stealing our land, our culture, and herding up the rest of our people and putting them on missions or in other institutions.
Mm.
Of course they'd be traumatised. But you'll never get rid of your trauma, unresolved grief, loss and trauma, till we all tell the truth And so we can reconcile together, but
yes.
we'll never, ever reconcile while this hidden country and the truth is hidden from the whole world and Australia. The arrogance,
yes.
the arrogance of politicians saying, we've got to have Invasion Day, it might stop petrol sniffing and crime.
Yeah, hello.
You know?
Exactly. And a person of that calibre, at that level, at that height of government, to make such a statement.
And if I would have had time yesterday, my speech is live streamed, you can give it to the world, but I had 10 minutes to talk about 230 years of colonisation, so I hope I've put most of it in. Of course we need a treaty. A treaty with the First Nations peoples and the government, but it has to be on our terms of reference.
Mm.
Not some little plastic piece of paper that can be changed like Uncle Koiki Mabo's sovereignty when
exactly.
we had it all made there through the High Court, and then they got into bed together, the multinationals, the government, and then watered it down and caused so much conflict with all of our different people because we had to prove where we come from. When many of our families were removed from their country and sent away and brought up in someone else's country under legislation.
Yep.
And so, you know, when I go out around the world, people can't believe when I tell them all the evidence-based research of what's happening in our country and continuing to happen with the race relations, the poor race relations,
yep.
deaths in custody. More of our people died in custody since the 1989 Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody. More of our children have been removed since the Bringing Them Home report. More of our people have been incarcerated since all the social justice documents, and the gap's widening since the National Aboriginal Health Strategy, and yet billions and billions of dollars have been poured into First Nations peoples, and most of that money goes to non-Indigenous peoples or consultants.
Yes, all consultants, yes, you're having contracts.
On our communities when a large percentage of them can't read and write and put all their friends on, and when there's most money misappropriated, they blame the blackfellas and move
exactly.
on to another community and put some of their friends on and workers. Whitefellas are becoming millionaires on our blackfellas.
On black money,
Trevor.
Exactly. That's right. And
but
so
anyway,
when you have not just people screaming about the amount of money is given to us,
today.
We don't really get it, do we?
That's for sure. And we are, and only a quarter reaches the grassroots level.
Yep.
And it's like a pack of hungry wolves fighting over a piece of raw steak. And this bullshit Native Title Act that's been watered down is causing so much conflict. The oppressed are becoming the oppressor. And once we all come together and everyone stops fighting, and a lot of it's through oppression and greed, that's when we can start winning this war for our children to stop taking their lives, because that's what's
exactly.
happening to our children. They're taking their lives because of hopelessness, racism.
Generational trauma.
Generational trauma that's unresolved, and police brutality.
Yes.
And so, you know, we've got, you know, that terrible, tragic accident. It wasn't an accident in Brisbane last night where a husband and wife and a pregnant, she was pregnant, all got killed with a stolen car.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that young boy
17 years
that
old.
Did that
yep.
should never have been allowed out, and he was a non-Indigenous boy. I don't care, Indigenous or non-Indigenous. All of these people, if they do, if they're incarcerated, they need their cultural appropriate healing programs mandatory.
Yeah. Exactly.
But if that was an Aboriginal person that did that, it'd be all over the world press.
Big time.
And Australian
exactly.
press. And we
exactly.
don't condone any of this behaviour.
No.
But what governments are doing, Trevor, is giving money to the wrong people who are doing programs from a from a top-down approach
yep.
rather than a bottom-up approach.
From the inside out. Got to come from community, inside out.
Aboriginal Islanders, and then stupid public servants are pouring millions and millions of dollars into them. And they wonder why the programs are failing. And the programs that are working usually get cut off because it's
yep.
a million-billion-dollar economic base
exactly.
for a lot of coconuts and a lot of white fellas to be continuing getting money to keep that gap opening.
Driving a Mercedes-Benz, living in mansions. Exactly. You there, Aunt?
Did I lose you, Trev?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, no, I lost you. Sorry. That's Arnie Graceland-Smallwood, look, having a say regarding Survival Day. She represented her mob, her family there in Townsville at the march and the gathering there. And you can hear in her voice and her tone and words she chooses in regard to where we sit today in the 21st century and regarding stolen wages, stolen generation, all the above, and is hurting our people. And we have a long way to go, as she made a point. I'll just see if I get her back online to say goodbye to her. Arnie Grace, are you there?
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah, no, they're listening to us. Don't worry about that, Aunt.
I said, oh, Asia, cut me off now. You fellas might lose your funding.
That's right. Don't be like that.
Where did we cut off, Trev?
Yeah, well, exactly. No, cut off about time. In regard to non-Indigenous people, first cab off the rank regarding their money is at the table, and they look after themselves, and they're working from the top bottom, to top down to the bottom, which is wrong.
Yeah, and we have a minority of white fellas that are genuinely on our side and want to close the gap.
Yes.
But the majority, I mean, I can tell you CEOs on communities that have been there for years and years and years, never trained a black fella in their position.
Yes.
But when money goes astray, they're moved on to another bloody community and the black fellas get into trouble for it.
Exactly.
But the other thing, it's like moving the pedophile to priest. Instead of taking them out of the system, they keep them in the same system and move them to other institutions.
It's got to stop.
It's time, and you know the other thing I said, Trevor, in my speech you would have heard, that anybody, black or white, that's getting black fella money, whether it be churches, institutions, community control, their CEOs should start telling their staff to be mandatory and come down and join in when there's Aboriginal celebrations.
Exactly.
Like yesterday was Invasion Day, the celebration of 65,000 years. You could, I looked around at, I don't know how much money goes in this community, black and white, especially them church groups, Church of Christ, Mission Australia, they still got that mission mentality. But black and white people that are getting money that is connected to Aboriginal land affairs,
yes,
should sign a policy that they come and be involved at the grassroots level.
Annie Grayson, you've got to say goodbye, you mob.